You're listening to The Musafirs, a bi-monthly decolonized D&D actual play podcast. Hi, I'm Maryam Ahmed, your GM. First of all, I want to wish everyone observing Ramadan Kareem and Mubarak. Speaking of which, you may want to listen to this episode after iftar, as food and carousing is a huge part of this one. To all the audiophiles out there, I apologize. The first few episodes required a little extra TLC in post, but I promise you, the audio quality gets better after a few episodes. In episode 0, we met the characters of this adventure. Ajay as Anika the Human Eldritch Knight, Amr as Adhuri the Tabaxi Swashbuckler, and Jabari as Adila the Half-Orc Bard. If you haven't heard it yet, now might be a good time to listen to episode 0. We'll wait. Or don't. Surprise me. I mean, surprise yourself, really. So you are all currently in the region of Banga, in its biggest urban city of Koldak. It is a city of culture, of magic, of water, with its plentiful rivers and being close to the coast. The three of you have either grown up here or spent enough time to learn some of the good and bad of this city. You have all met each other through circumstances that will come out in conversation later down the road. As you have spent time in Koldak, living, learning, doing whatever the three of you enjoy doing, you have reached a point where you realize that you are running low on funds to enable yourself to enjoy life in Koldak and are looking for a new source of income. Adila, you get a job that your friend Lapi had suggested to you that involved essentially a travel food critic gig where all expenses paid, you go along with this caravan and this caravan will travel through the various regions from east to west before finally going north towards the Pahari region, where you will end your journey in a city called Kushintag.
Did Lapi mention where the job is coming from?
It's from your benefactor. You did such a good job last time with the restaurant reviews that they said that you would be the perfect fit for this sort of a job.
So, yeah, this makes me squirm a little bit.
But it's good money. Aside from not having to worry about any money in the travel as your caravan expenses are taken care of, you will get a stipend of 100 gold.
I'm going to take it. I am... There's too much here. I need to get out. I think a nice change of pace would help.
I definitely ask if there's an advance.
You'll get the 100 gold as your stipend, and then when you return, you will get an extra 100 gold and perhaps a little extra bonus for the work you did.
Yeah, I accept, but I kind of give Lapi this look. Why is this coming through you? And then I just ask her, did they put you up to this?
Hesitates for a bit before she looks at you straight in the eyes and says, "Trust me, this will be a good move for you. It'll move you forward rather than backwards. You don't want to know what the alternative is."
All right. Where's the gold? I'm not smiling when I ask.
She goes through her bags, pulls out the paperwork, which is basically a receipt for your travel expenses already being taken care of, and the direction and details and time for where the caravan will meet before they set off, and a pouch with gems that are worth about 100 gold pieces.
At least it's not noble scrip. I know that too well.
And she looks at Anika at this point, and she says, "Oh, the caravan also is looking for some hired help, navigators or muscle. I'm sure they would be happy if you would like to accompany your friend. I'm sure they'd pay you a fair wage.
Annika shrugs and then just says, if it gets me out of Kolduk, I'll be fine with that.
The trip all the way to the Bari region will take about several weeks. And I'm sure they'll, if you want to come back to Kolduk after you complete the route, they'll pay you again another fair wage. You could make double the amount of money.
Would there perhaps be need for a performer? Some entertainment along the caravan?
Probably. I mean, they pick up all sorts of passengers.
Well, if there's a place on board, I would be more than happy to take one.
Of course. You can speak to the caravan. I'm sure they'd love to have a talented performer such as yourself. And at this point, Lapi looks to you, Adila, and says, well, I will miss you, and I hope you have a safe journey.
I step toward her. She's a few inches shorter than me. The difference isn't very much, but I'm going to try to be a little bit imposing. Like, I actually step toward her. I'm like, so you're going to miss me, but you're not coming with me. What are you doing while I'm gone?
You know, the usual things.
My benefactor, is there anyone or anything that he wanted me to write about in particular?
Just a very descriptive and engaging review of the places you go and the food you eat. That's about as much as they've told me.
No particular place.
No, for those who like to travel out of Banga, this is going to go towards being a good guidebook.
Annika puts a hand on Adela's shoulder and says, relax. If this is a trap, we've seen worse.
If this is a trap, it sure pays well.
Trap? I don't know what you mean.
No, I don't think it's a trap. I just, you're playing unusually coy, but that's all right. I'll miss you too, Lavi. And I open my arms to kind of just, like, hug her awkwardly.
She just hugs you, and it's almost a hug that is longer than usual. It's very much the I will miss you dearly.
Oh.
And it's firm, it's long, and then she lets go.
Take care of yourself.
And she's turning around to leave.
By this point, Annika's probably like 15, 30 feet in the direction of the caravan, and then just kind of calls out, hurry up already, and keeps walking.
I turn around, I start moving toward the caravan.
I follow and mutter loud enough for Adila to hear. Impatient as always, isn't she?
Even so, I swing my instrument around to the front of me and I just pluck at it a little bit. And a few resonant notes like bleed through the wind.
I've got to imagine that whenever Adhuri is able to catch you doing that, they try to pull out their sarangi and frantically try to match whatever random plucking you're doing and like weave a tune between the notes just as we're walking along.
How is Adhuri at playing instruments in general? Like, are they pretty accomplished?
Yeah, I would say so. That is a huge part of how they get around and how they like afford places to stay and most of what they're passionate for. So
if we want to see how well this impromptu harmonizing goes, I will have the both of you roll performance checks.
Ooh, let's see. That is a whole 10.
12.
Okay, so the way I imagined it would be for harmonizing is seeing how the both of you roll and the gap between them. If you roll fairly close to each other within a 5 margin, you harmonize relatively well, and then the performance as a whole is dependent on the highest number. So with a 10 and a 12, your impromptu harmonizing works, but it's proficient. If you want to narrate how that works out.
I kind of have a picture that like I like swung around my instrument and I was just picking a few random strings like nervously, and then Adhuri comes in with like an actual tune that's competent that I'm a little bit late to the party with. Like, I'm like, oh wait, we're playing a song. it's like the musical equivalent of me saying that, but I'm able to kind of level out competently.
I also imagine that a huge part of it is that the sarangi is a instrument you play with a bow. So like, I need one hand to hold the instrument and one hand to use the bow. And usually I'd like play sitting down or something to support the instrument. So I'm very frantically trying to balance like the instrument along my arm, even though, you know, that's a kind of difficult task while we're walking around and I'm trying to frantically catch up so I don't miss you plucking the notes.
Awesome.
You reach the big bazaar and you find the three big caravan carts that are the typical traveling merchant variety. It's a wooden wagon with sort of like a tarp or linen, like thick linen covering. And there is space for two, a driver and one passenger. And the back of the caravan has space for cargo and maybe two passengers.
Anik is just gonna roll up to like vaguely within earshot of anyone that could be near the caravan and just kind of yells out, okay, who's going to Bahari?
At least three other different caravans in various parts say, we are!
So the caravan that Annika just strode up to, I'm going to look for someone that looks like they're kind of in charge of that caravan and show them the route that I have charted, at least, and ask if this is the same one that they're following.
You find what looks to be a halfling man who seems to be somewhat in charge. Looks like they're checking over each of their animals before their big journey. Notices that there are strangers and turns around and says, yes, can I help you?
Hi. I look at Annika a little bit like intimidatedly.
Annika is not intimidated at all, and she just says, okay, so I need to go to Bahari, and you may look like you need. And then she just kind of like pulls out her sword, and if like there's at least a little bit of dirt on the ground, she just kind of like drives her sword into the ground and says, I can be work.
I see.
And I'm a passenger.
Okay, you're very early. We are setting out at dawn tomorrow. I mean, points for being eager, but I can't give you accommodations for tonight, as we will be staying over here, and points towards the really bare bones, looks like traveling merchant, hostel sort of a place, and says, and they're currently full, so if you have no place to go, although he looks you up and down and says, it doesn't look like you are missing a roof over your head.
At this point, Annika just kind of like, without even really, just kind of leaves the conversation, walks away, leaving her sword in the ground, and just says, see you at dawn, and just walks away.
Wait, we have to discuss a contract unless you're okay being paid whatever is available.
Annika turns around and just gives this guy the most evilest of evil eyes. All right, so what's the contract?
You see the man, the halfling shuffle to what looks to be his particular cart. And rummages for like a couple of minutes before pulling out what looks to be stamped but blank scroll, and it looks like a boilerplate contract, and says, okay, so if you are being hired on as security, you will be paid 100 gold pieces if you accompany our caravan from Kolduk to Kushin Tug. This will take approximately 8 weeks, and this is only for one route. If you decide to leave our caravan prior to that, but at any of the trading hubs prior to the final destination. You will get paid an equivalent to the percentage of the journey completed, and we will hire someone else. If you leave us at any point without informing us or not at a port and without leaving behind someone who can replace you, you will forfeit your entire amount.
I think Annika's just impatient and is just like, fine.
So Adhila has no reason to look over the contract, but she does ask, do you have a lot of people or at least a lot of your bodyguards just leave mid-route?
For the most part, no, but we find that people are more likely to uphold their end of the bargain if it's written on paper.
That's fair. That's completely fair. Right. Then I'll be back later. And Adhila goes looking for the best smelling thing in the immediate vicinity as kind of the nightlife starts to play up.
By this point, Annika's already gone. And then this caravan owner just sees the sword vanish into thin air with no trace.
And where the sword was is another figure who has been watching this entire encounter, and they speak up and say, "Tell me, would there be room on your caravan for entertainers, perhaps?"
"Well, we usually don't hire entertainers, but you're welcome to join us."
"Perhaps we can come to an arrangement. I do not require pay on the level of one of your hired guards, but perhaps in exchange for transport along with your caravan, I can provide entertainment, a sort of exchange of services."
Give me a persuasion check.
That's an 8 on the dice, so that's 13.
Looks at you and says, "Wait, do you play in the Night Bazaar occasionally? I've heard you play, I think. You look familiar."
"I play wherever a crowd can be found, and wherever stories need to be told, and wherever stories need to be heard."
"I'm sure our caravan will appreciate some soothing sounds while they rest in the evening. Sure, you can come on as a passenger, and you can pay in song. Literally, you can sing for your supper." And just sort of pats himself in the back like he thought of it all.
"Tell me, may I ask something of you?"
"Of course."
"Perhaps while we travel later, you would be willing to share some of yourself and your past with me."
"Oh, there. When you mean, I mean, you know, we agreed on something, but, you know, share some of yourself. I mean, you're pretty and all, but you're not my type."
No, you misunderstand me. I simply wish to collect more stories for my repertoire, and perhaps yours, you would be interested in adding yours to mine, so when I find the night market somewhere across on our journeys, perhaps it is your story that is being sung."
"Well, when you put it that way, of course."
"Well, I'm sure we have a very fortuitous journey ahead. Now, if you excuse me, I will go find my companions before they wander off too far."
It is getting close to sundown. The big bazaar sort of winds down for official business. And then after sundown, it's really just entertainment and food. And artists are what the night bazaar becomes.
Adhila is searching for food, some kind of street food. Something that smells unfamiliar.
As much as Annika hates to admit it, she kind of enjoys Adhila's company, so she kind of shows up 2 minutes afterwards where Adhila isn't just says, "So you smell a rat here?"
"I'm looking for food." Show off.
Aduri would try to kind of take a route around to arrive in that space and start setting up a performance by the time they show up. Try to cut around the crowd instead of through the crowd to get there a little ahead.
Give me a dexterity check to find the right routes and see if you get there before them. Actually, you know what? Roll your initiative.
So that's 23.
Yeah, as you spend time in the city, you found little shortcuts and you managed to go to where this, I guess, Busker Square would be and are already mid-tune by the time Adila and Annika reach your area looking for food.
How does it sound?
I think it's probably a pretty standard performance, nothing out there, just one of those. I got set up and something that like most people would not mind hearing in the background, but if someone wanted to pay attention, there would be some more depth to the words.
Adila, pretty sure you left Aduri behind. Annika, definitely pretty sure you left Aduri behind 100%. As you stopped off.
Kind of seeing this, Annika turns to Adila and says, "You're calling me the show off?"
Well, I mean, it's more pleasant. I walk a little bit faster into the square.
Annika rolls her eyes, but because her left eye is like a glass eye, it looks really unnerving. And she just kind of follows. Bastards.
It is right now at that in-between place where a lot of the morning vendors have sort of wrapped up and the evening vendors are starting to warm up and get things done. You notice there's a lot of snack foods available at this point. There's the smell of fried bread in certain places, and you know you can find stuffed fried bread, as well as vendors that basically offer these hollow, delicate shells that are the tops broken off, and they stuff it with different vegetables and different spices, and then dip it in this very savory water and hand it to you, and you put the entire thing in your mouth very quickly. And you just keep eating until you're done, and then you pay. You see younger college students have eating competitions of who can have the most without calling uncle.
I definitely like kind of shy away from those crowds a little bit so that I can sit with the food a little bit more precisely. While I'm picking up all the street food, though, it's more to like work up an appetite. I'm still keeping an eye out for anyone that's offering like a meal rather than just street food, knowing that it's like a weird hour. But that's part of why I'm kind of looking in that way, because I'm wondering if there's anyone.
This is sort of the snack hour where everybody just stands around different street food vendors. But you do know of one or two places that have seating areas. And you know, some of the food, especially the more labor-intensive food, is usually made overnight or at the start of, like, at dawn, and they're only ready in the evening. You know of one place that is sort of a well-known, it's not Banga food, it is Shahabadi food, which is essentially biryani. You've been there one or two times, so they might remember you. And they are essentially prepping to make the next day's food while serving whatever they made the previous evening.
I want to find a person who cooks as I devour kind of like the snack that they used to like hold people over. And then I'm going to just say like, what would it take for me to cook with you tonight?
They sort of lower their eyes at you just a little bit and say, I'm not sure. Unless you're asking for a job here, we don't share our secret recipe with just anybody.
What would it take? I've had your food before, it's good. But I want to understand it.
Give me a persuasion, deception, or intimidation, depending on what sort of how are you trying to convince them.
I'm rolling with persuasion here as I slide them 2 gold and I'm like, let me cook with you. I slide them 2 gold and like my like the gesture is the kind of like, look at this illicit deal that I'm doing. But like if they were to look at my face, like you see like Hila is puppy eyed, like she's like, please.
Okay, I'll let you roll with advantage then.
23.
As smoothly as you slide the gold over, it smoothly also disappears from view. They say, well, I suppose if you hung around, I mean, you know, my boss is not here, so if you were to, say, converse with me while I was preparing things, I suppose I wouldn't really be revealing my secret recipe or anything. You are simply visiting a dear friend. Come on in, dear friend.
Kind of, I'm like, excitedly rocking back and forth on, like, my toes and heels. And I look around just to make sure that Annika can't see me rocking around like an idiot. But it's not very careful, so I'm probably very visible and I disappear.
I imagine at this point, I feel like as this deal was kind of being settled, Aduri switched stories. At like, I finished the first song, and the second song was the story of a cook who traveled around perfecting recipes from different regions. Just, and that's just kind of the song that's set in the background as this deal is happening and as Adhila disappears.
I think the camera cuts to Annika playing chess with some random stranger, like, already has a cup of chai and a couple of biscuits in her hand, just like, where, like, I think Annika, like, likes extra ginger in her chai. Extra ginger, half sugar, which annoys everyone she asks.
Do you do this thing where the chai comes and it's like, okay, you ask for ginger chai, it shows up, you take a sip, and it's like,
not enough ginger, too much sugar. Again.
And at some point, someone just left you a plate of, like, cut-up ginger matchsticks and just leaves it with you.
Plot twist, they definitely sent me out to, like, leave this fucking plate for you.
I'm honestly curious what it would be to roll for playing chess against this person.
I would say it would be a proficiency check. So, are you proficient with chess sets?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't add your proficiency. I would say, let's just say, because it's strategy, it would be intelligence. So just make an intelligence check, and I will oppose you.
All right. I don't think you have to, because I rolled a 2 plus 3, so a 5.
Can I actually assist in that as I'm dropping off the plate? Like, can I be like, and like look at the board? And
Annika gives a don't you dare. This is my game.
Okay, so this actually won't be helpful. I would like to make my own check as well for this game, assuming the position of Annika before I walk back in, kind of as like a little bit of a sassy, like, screw you for making me cut up this ginger and bring it up to you.
So are you basically going to oppose roll and sort of...
I'm going to oppose roll to make a helpful move, hopefully, because I know it'll be annoying to her.
I would say, yeah, make your own, and since you're actually proficient with a similar set, you can add your proficiency, and it'll be an intelligent check.
I also want to say that as this is happening, I imagine at this point, Adhuri has moved on from their last song to a wordless one this time. They're kind of just warming up. They've warmed up their singing, so now they're warming up, playing a higher complexity tune. And I imagine this one is just a high intensity, high energy, kind of setting more tension in the environment than is necessary.
I'm so glad, especially since I just rolled a natural 20.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it's actually, even though it seems to be, like, you are definitely a pro. You have played this with so many of the intelligentsia of Koldak as part of your upbringing. And clearly this game that is happening here, as I rolled a 6 total, this game here is like watching two toddlers play chess. And even then, your friend is basically 2 or 3 moves away from losing.
As I'm dropping off this plate, basically I think I like start reaching toward your pieces as I see that you're about to make your move. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that.
Annika swordlessly swats away your hand.
As you, like, swat at my hand, like, I keep moving forward and I just, like, make the proper move. And I'm like, there, open up the floor. Continue. I drop off the plate.
Annika moves back that piece and deliberately puts in a knowingly terrible move just to spite you.
And at this point, the the gnome that is sitting next to you just sort of has this whiplash from looking at the both of you bicker and then plays their piece and essentially wins in like one or two turns, like, thanks, Grandma! And hops off and walks away. That was literally a gnome toddler you were playing against.
A chill runs down Annika's spine at the thought of being called, like, a grandmother. And she just kind of, like, looks for a mirror, just like, my hair's not going that gray, is it?
As I go back in, I'm going to ask, like, what dish seems to need, like, most prep ahead of time, or, like, what needs to be batched, if there's anything.
You notice that this is sort of, there's a marination of meat that is being done that needs to happen, as well as the meat needs to be slow cooked overnight, and the rice also needs to be properly husks removed.
So I start doing that. I start sorting the rice. Like, I kind of move toward the meat initially because it looks like it'll be tasty, but like I start like not trusting myself with that in my brain, and I'm like, I'll just work in the rice and I'll watch how to do this.
As all of this is being made and you're sort of learning all of it, I'll say to retain the information, give me an intelligence check to see how much you can retain the information, and depending on the result, you might be able to help or create it at a later time.
That's pretty good. That is a 20, not natural.
So you write down stuff and you are maybe not quite sure about the quantities in terms of like going from making food for like 100 portions to like making food for maybe 4 portions. So that might be where it's a little tricky, and you notice that even though you have been allowed access to the kitchen, the chef that is preparing everything and the one you paid 2 gold to is being a little vague on the spice quantities, like a dash of this or a large handful or 1 cup, as in it's literally the cup that is there in that restaurant, which might not be the same as a cup elsewhere.
So the measurements might be kind of, might need some troubleshooting, but I'm definitely keeping my eye on like how the spices are treated, like whether they're like toasted beforehand, before like any of the meat is added, or like what's, like I'm looking at the procedure and what is being used, if not how much. He's like, I figure I can like stumble into something that tastes decent later if I'm paying attention to the other stuff.
You definitely take down notes and you have all the ingredients needed, but the quantities might be questionable.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. I'm like nodding with satisfaction as I'm seeing this process and being able to actually like help with this process. Can I ask what the dish that they have me focusing in on preparing in particular is?
It is our mutton biryani, and there is like good chunks of meat, but also bones. And you notice the marrow's in. Aside from the spices and the slow cooking and everything, the marrow kind of makes everything magical.
Oh, yeah, I think there's points at the, like in the night where they're maybe telling me like taste to make sure everything's coming along correctly, and I'm like eating it. Like I've probably had like a solid portion of it by the end of the night.
Yeah, over the process of, say, like 4 or 5 hours, because by midnight, I think everything's done and you're going to shoot away, you've had probably the equivalent of 2 or 3 portions and all these tasting and everything. You are stuffed.
I kind of like look at the cooks as I leave or get ready to leave, and I'm like, do you mind if I take a few portions of this? You know, 2 gold, It's kind of a lot. It's in 20 times. I know I'm paying for secrets, but also...
I'm going to say roll a persuasion with disadvantage.
24. Second one is a 17. It's going to be the 17.
Their eyes narrow and they're about to say something. They shut their mouth like they're thinking better of it and find a large banana leaf. And you notice that banana leaves, even though they're not necessarily indigenous to the area, are very sturdy, sort of a leaf. Put about a generous one portion on it and then wrap it up and silently hand it to you.
I thank them. Then I, kind of overhearing the wage for how much it would cost for the dish, I ask if there's enough for 10 portions. And if there is, then I pay one more gold.
They happily pocket the gold and they give you a clay pot that is filled with biryani. And that is enough for 10 portions and just hand it to you.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so I run out the portion that's in the banana leaf and like find a way, like I maybe like... scrounge a few bowls, like I indicate that I'll return the bowls to them, but like I split that portion between these two bowls and run that out to where you both are while I kind of clumsily carry this pot full of biryani. I'm taking it back to the caravan and I'm just like, here, like it's an indication of goodwill for the journey. I think that everyone should be eating well if we're going to be on a long journey, so to setting up a healthy pattern.
Fakir Chen gives you the most toothiest of smiles and says, ah, this will make a good morning meal. Why, thank you. We usually don't treat ourselves like this. We try to save as much as we can on the road, but this will be quite nice. Although, and sort of sniffs and says, mutton biryani, is it?
Yes.
My partner is, unfortunately, vegetarian. Well, she usually just helps herself with berries, so I suppose it doesn't matter too much.
I understand. Embarrassed, I kind of sigh to myself, and I walk back. I ask, I need a second pot of your best tahari if you have any prepared.
10 portions would be, I guess, half of that. So that would be, instead of one gold piece, it would be 5 silver pieces.
Yeah. I pay them a gold, and, like, that's tip for both. Thank you.
And it gives you another pot.
And I wink, and I go back.
At this point, Annika just gets kind of sick of the whole, kind of gets sick of the whole scene, just kind of helps you out. Screw it.
How's the biryani?
It's delicious, but Annika says, not spicy enough.
Mm, okay, so it was good. Good. Thanks for carrying this. So Adhila just casts her eye around, looking for Adhuri.
Adhuri can still be found in the center of the square. Probably at this point, less so using their voice since they've been at this for a while. More just giving pleasant tunes for anyone who was up and eating at this hour.
I would say give me a performance check to determine how much busking money you have earned.
That's a 12 on the dice, so 19.
Damn!
So in coppers and silvers, you make the equivalent of 3 gold pieces. In addition, some of the street vendors who have seen you basically perform throughout this entire time, someone comes along with lemon water when they notice you haven't sung in a while. And, you know, they ply you with drinks to keep your voice up.
Mm-hmm. I also think that part of, like, the high roll is what I do at certain points in the evening. Like, when the first vendor drops off the water and I drink it, I turn around and perform more directly to the patrons of that, like, vendor and the people who are waiting in line by that vendor and eating that vendor's food. And so I think the other vendors get the idea. And, like, as specific vendors give me snacks, I shift the angle of my performance so that it's projecting more towards that vendor for a little bit.
Out of curiosity, did you ever actually eat the portion of biryani that I set aside for you? Or did it get neglected in kind of the whirlwind of performance?
Mm-hmm. I think just by virtue of it being like slightly more of a meal, I think it gets kind of kept to the side and it hasn't been eaten yet. I think they're planning to eat it later, but they just haven't been able to get around to it.
I think, like, later in the night, like, after I've paid for, like, the second pot and, like, dropped this off and everything, like, I'm going to stop back in the square and just see how things are going. And more just kind of look to see, like, you know, did you eat it? Like, how was it? Like, and I see that it's just been set aside. As you're performing for these different vendors, like, I'm shooting you some looks.
Perfect.
Meanwhile, Annika's getting bored and is looking for a street fight to get into.
Are you actively seeking a fight?
I think it's one of those things where she's, like, waiting for someone to, like, flip a table, and then she just wants to beat this fella's ass. Just for funsies.
Why do you sound like Batman? Like,
I'm Batman, and I'm here to beat people up for fun.
For the time being, it is a fairly, especially with the really nice music that is lilting in from the Busker Square, everybody is enjoying themselves and no one's spirits are aggravated for this particular evening.
At some point, Annika just kind of rolls up to Adela and says, no bar fights anywhere. What happened to Gold Duck?
Well, people have other things to enjoy, like good food, drink. Chess. I mean, I can understand if you're not enjoying chess, but other people are. That kid was.
At the mention of chess, Annika just kind of like gives like Adila like a look, and then she says, "I personally think all of those are better when accompanied with a fist fight." And she just kind of walks away.
I mean, I'll play you.
She turns around and says, done.
Okay. You can certainly play chess together. Are there any stakes to it, or is it just a friendly, casual game?
Winner throws the first punch.
Yes!
Okay, so you're having a chess match to essentially start a fight?
Yes.
All right, both of you give me an intelligence check. And add proficiency if you're proficient with a chess or similar set.
I rolled a nat one.
Oh, wow. That I did not roll a nat one. I, in fact, rolled a 15.
Describe to me how the chess match goes.
I think the best way to sum it up is, like, I'm dreading that I'm winning because I'm not ready for the fight that I've invited in my, like, prep cook haze. And like at the point where I like it's maybe 7 or 8 moves in and I'm like, right, so it's just fists, right? Just fists and like no armor, and like I like put you in checkmate like by accident, just like, oh, I should have held off from that.
Annika, she sees just the brutal loss of this game and she just kind of stands up, walks around the table and just, like, looms over Adela and just cracks her knuckles and says, bring it.
I punch her in the gut.
Roll me an attack and add your strength.
All right, so I rolled a 9.
That is just enough to actually connect.
Oh, 5EHC. I deal 1 damage as I punch you in the gut.
What is your total hit points?
I'm at 28 total.
This is going to be a long night.
So I will say first blood is whoever either concedes or you reach your bloodied status, like half your hit points.
Sounds good.
It is now your turn.
Annika doesn't fight fair. She's casting Shocking Grasp.
Oh my goodness. What is your AC without any armor?
That would be a 13.
That is a 23.
Roll damage. And please describe.
You can't take reactions, basically. So when Adela just kind of like gives this wimpy punch, I don't think Annika even like reacts to the actual punch. He just kind of grins and says, my turn. And I'm going to roll 8 damage.
So electricity just pulses through me?
You get dazed, essentially. What is your total HP before you took the damage?
22.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of your HP. But you still have your turn.
I kind of go to, like, stabilize myself. Like, I kind of, like, rest my hand on your shoulder, and I cast sleep. I'm gonna just center it, like, 15 feet above the point that I'm, like, touching Annika on her shoulder.
Sure. Roll 5d8, I believe, if you're casting it at first level.
16 HP.
Not gonna be enough.
You know, the roofs of places are also used as areas, and suddenly you hear like little screams coming from above as they're wondering why, like, oh my god, what happened?
As
you hear some thunks and then snores.
I'm gonna just try to play that off. Even though it's clear that I cast the spell, at least to Annika, since I...
She's cackling.
But clearly, whatever happened has not affected you.
I think I'm gonna keep it simple and just go for an unarmed strike. 12 plus 3 for 15? All right, then I do 4 damage. You down.
Well, I'm bloodied.
Yeah, at this point, describe how you draw blood.
I think what happens is that after Attila cast this spell that clearly didn't work as well as hoped, Annika just kind of laughs, then grabs Attila by like the scruff of her neck and just leaps off a table and just throws her into a wall.
Yeah, I yield.
Oh my.
Like, I taste copper and yield.
And at this point, you hear a very loud voice. What the fuck is happening here? This is not some Kota or something. Leave right now. And you see the chef is red-faced and angry at clearly what is looking to be property damage.
Oh no.
Annika says, don't worry, you can take this sword and shield as collateral. And she leaves that behind and walks out.
I pay them another 2 gold. Like, I squint incredulously, and then I pay up.
Their expression softens a little, but they're still pretty pissed. And sort of look incredulously at, what am I going to do with a sword and shield?
Sell it!
Yeah, I leave.
I'm imagining, so this is happening indoors somewhere, and like they step outside into the square where Adhuri is performing. So I think Adhuri finishes their song just as the two step out, notices, kind of puts things together based on the group, and starts a new song under Sarangi. And as they're playing, they're not singing along, but rather telling a story to it. I imagine a small crowd of people who are either eating and looking at them as they're eating, and say, there were 2 travelers who came from Bavra. They traveled across the land, seeking out challenges to overcome. Together, they overcame many obstacles. Nothing they faced could prove a threat to them. But behind them, though they overcame many problems, they also left problems in their wake. For you see, they were known for arguing. They caused many a squabble and left much damage behind as they traveled. Ultimately, when they had faced all the problems they'd wanted to face, they were left with one final one. And so they too finally came to rest, not at the hands of one of their problems, but at the hands of each other. Because they were
unable. Annika just kind of like walks up on stage, just like crosses her arms, like tapping her toe, looking at Adhuri, and says, just say my goddamn name, and walks back off.
How is Attila reacting to this story?
Attila looks a little ashamed. Like, she already is kind of embarrassed. Whatever taste from earlier on, like, has kind of faded to blood a little bit, which is the opposite of the kind of indulgence that she generally likes to, like, give into. But she kind of, like, looks apologetically toward Annika, and especially toward Adhuri.
I think as Adhuri notices that, they had kind of paused at the end of the story but continued playing music, and then they turn back up and go, but there is other stories. 2 more travelers from Bahra they faced their fair share of problems that they could not overcome, including troubles amongst themselves. But one chose to extend a hand that was rebuked many times. But eventually they found a way, and their problems were a thing of the past.
Yeah, I kind of just stroll up to Annika, kind of just like nudge her.
That was fun.
I don't agree with that. Like, I don't dignify that with an audible response, but I do kind of like give you like a camaraderie nudge.
You need to learn how to fight.
And as the evening winds down, is there anything else you do before you essentially have your long rest and appear at first light?
Annika's nowhere to be seen, by the way.
Oh god, of course.
She's going to bed. She's had a good night.
I think I'm gonna take my my equipment, pack it up, and then I'm gonna take the biryani that was gifted to me and eat it, finally.
So, I'm totally, like, watching you like a hawk, like, eagerly as you're eating the biryani that I made. I lean in. How's the food?
Adhuri just continues eating the biryani, like, no response to you leaning in.
And I am definitely, like, as you start eating, I wait until, like, you take a mouthful and I'm just like, so you realize we were just trying to have fun. Like, we are able to get along, Annika and I. And as I say that, it's evident across my face that, like, maybe we're not the best at actually, like, doing that.
Yeah, so I think Adhuri gives a sly smile to Adila as they continue eating their biryani. They finish the bite, and they look very innocently, but very obviously a manufactured innocence, and say, I simply told stories that I figured would be entertaining and informative to an audience. If you thought the stories were speaking to you, perhaps you should be examining why instead of justifying yourself to someone else.
So I bring around my instrument again, and I start picking up that tune from, like, earlier in the day. And, like, I'm playing it as, like, sort of, like, an invitation to, like, start harmonizing. And as I'm doing that, I'm watching you really closely. Not in a way that I mean to be intrusive. Like, maybe it is, but it's not intended to be.
So two things happen. The first is that you probably notice there is a release of tension a little when you start doing that. Hard to notice normally when Adhuri has the hood up and the cloak fully on, but with it released, you can tell that they kind of have their back and shoulders arced almost always, and you can tell that if they weren't like that, they would be a lot taller than they usually appear to be. And then the other slightly unexpected thing is they harmonize, or attempt to harmonize, but not with their instrument, but rather with their voice, just humming along as I continue to eat. You know, I'm still not breaking the fact, because I have this biryani that I was gifted, and I'm still going to eat it because it's been a long night of performing. But I am humming as I eat.
I'm kind of nodding as you start, like, humming. But I'm taking it, like, on one hand, like, I'm appreciating the release of tension. Like, it's a very empathetic mode. But, like, I don't know if there's more going on. And I, like, if there is, Hila is missing it in this point. But she keeps playing.
And I think unless anything changes, Adhuri keeps humming along until they finish their meal. And then they look up at Adhila. A copper for your thoughts.
Do you think that you'd get into a fight with Annika?
I don't think it would be much of a fight. And I crack a smile at that. Just a very confident smile.
But it would be a good story. She clearly takes that as, like, not like, oh, that fight would be over quickly because I can handle myself, but more like, oh, I'm not a fighter.
Perhaps one day the story will come to fruition. If Annika decides to go looking for trouble and finds it in you, you can always feel free to pass it off onto me. I'm sure Annika can use being knocked down a peg or two.
I appreciate that. I'm tired and sore. Thanks for sharing. I hope your stomach is full and you feel satisfied. We have a long journey to start tomorrow. Well, today. So I'm going to go rest.
I think after your scuffle earlier, you will need it.
Aduri, are you also turning in for the evening?
Yeah, I think Aduri actually has a little, like, before sleep habit of just writing in a journal observations from the day that can be used to write stories later. But once they've done that and got that all organized, they flip to a new page and start in detail describing the encounter they had with Adhila tonight.
I think one last scene for Annika. She's kind of in like this like small room wherever she's been sleeping for the past little while, and just kind of like sitting cross-legged at peace for a rare moment in her life, and then just kind of stretches, has her hands are upstretched, and then her sword and her shield return in her hands. She puts them away next to a wall and turns in for the night.
Oh, that restaurant owner is not going to be very happy. It's a good thing Hila paid.
Yeah, geez.
Eldritch Knight, baby. Eldritch Knight.